Brother Bob. Told him I'd ask for help get that clipped on there. But I guess Thanksgiving didn't go through my mind very well when I was thinking of a subject to speak on this morning. And for Thanksgiving, it would always be appropriate subject for a sermon, whether it was in the November air or not. And faith, I think, would always be a appropriate subject. And that's where I want to dwell this morning. And I guess when I spoke to you the last time, I think that was on faith also. And I'm going to use a little bit of the same scripture. Of course, we must have a little more than just faith. Maybe I should say, what are we going to have faith in? We just use the word faith oftentimes, and that could, we could have faith in our children, we could have faith in our parents, we could have faith in our neighbors, or we could have faith in a black box, a computer, or something else. But when we speak of things that pertain to religious, we usually consider faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ, and that's the faith that I have in mind. And a lot of the scriptures specifically say faith there. However, in the Bible, oftentimes it doesn't say faith in God or faith in Jesus Christ, so I'm sure that's what it means, but it doesn't just doesn't spell it out that well. It doesn't have the words there to go with it. Belief. Somewhat of another subject. But it is also something we might look at. We believe? Well, sure we believe. But what do we believe? Do we believe God? Or do we believe the scriptures that He has caused to be written? And pretty carefully preserved them for us to use, for us to read and hopefully understand. Times when we read the scriptures, we may not understand, and sometimes our beliefs may be a little bit astray because we do not understand the scriptures that we have read. Most of us were taught somewhat about the scriptures, about God, about Jesus Christ, our parents, or our neighbors, and the preachers that came around. And by and large, that has been good, of course. But sometimes our parents may teach us a little bit astray. They wouldn't chance to ever want to lead a child astray, but they may not have understood either. They may have had a misunderstanding of what the scripture says. I feel that we should have a strong belief in God, and that we should endeavor to support it. Point, but not to the point of being going going on being wrong all your life if it so happens that somewhere along the way you've got a little bit of misinformation, got a little bit of instructions that is wrong. And well, they say, Jack, have you had a problem like that? Well, sure. Sure. I was taught when I was younger. I don't know sure who all by, partially by my parents, partially by some of the ministry that came in the area to preach from time to time. And some of the things that I understood, whether they taught me wrong or whether I just understood it wrong myself, I can't know that for sure. But over the years, I found that, hey, that is exactly what the Scripture says. And I'm put, well, the several subjects, I guess, but particularly the subject of probation after death. Subject of what the hereafter is going to be like, the glories, as we call it. The Bible and the Book of Mormon do not support that there's a great group of glories that like the glory of the sun, the moon, and the stars that we've been taught. Some of us have been taught, at least. I am glad that I've come to a better understanding than in my later years of what I had to... I don't want to say that I'd been led to believe, or whether I'd led myself to believe. I don't know. I don't want to point the finger at anybody in particular that caused it. I respect my parents very much, and I don't know that they had any hand in it, and I don't know if they didn't. I just don't know. But we need to be firm enough to not be wishy-washy in our beliefs, but at the same time resilient enough to give and rather than break, that when we find that we are a little astray, that rather than just say, oh, boy, they're not any of it, and go off and just lose your whole religious life, lose the important part, of course, is your soul salvation. Because that's the end, that's the ultimate end for all of us. Whether we have attained our soul salvation or we have not attained it. But it's so important that we stable. If I come 1 week and preach one thing, and a month later or whenever I come back again and preach something different, why, you're probably going to wonder, well, just what does he believe? Must be somewhere in between, something like that. I think about old gauges. Excuse me. We put a pressure gauge on the air conditioner, and sometimes if it's a kind of poor gauge, why, the needle pops back and forth where you can hardly read it anywhere from 200 to 250 psi. And the better gauges has something that sort of damp, but it'll set it about 225 or 226 or 227. You can read what it is, but if we're off in the wild from one end to the other, continually. Specifically, if I preach to you today, that is important that you not only important, but the essential that we be baptized by someone that is of the authority to baptize us, and that we live our life in a satisfactory manner to God. I guess I'd call that a righteous manner, but satisfy God. Don't have to satisfy anybody except God. Don't have to satisfy your wife or your husband or your mother or your father, but God is one, and Christ, of course, that you have to satisfy. If we can keep a stable position and not then come back and next week and or maybe later today say, well, you know, there's a lot of good people that live in the area, and you've known that they have tried to, at least to a certain extent, I mean, all outward appearance, that they have tried to live a good life. If I tell you in the morning that you just absolutely have to be baptized with somebody in the Church of Jesus Christ, or the Church of Christ, I should have said, and then later in the day say, well, God will overlook the fact that you didn't baptize by someone that you should, then you'll wonder, well, just what does Jack believe? And I have to be careful of that. But what I believe and what is God's I don't want to say God's belief, but what's His will might be different. And what His will is what counts, not what I believe, as far as who will have their soul salvation and who won't. I can't take somebody's salvation from them because I think that they haven't lived quite the life that maybe I think they should. Nor can I give them the salvation because I would be amiable and open-minded to things that they have failed to do that the Scripture teaches we should do. The subject of the gays and lesbians, that's in the paper pretty regularly anymore. And a lot of people are just so very, very hard against them, and so others are so very lenient. And they'll quote the Scriptures that doesn't really wrong with it, that God overlook their alternate lifestyle, as the terms used. Yet I can find no Scriptures at all that would support that. So it's important that we get our faith lined up with what the Scripture says and what you would also receive from the Holy Ghost guiding you. But it's also very important that we be consistent, that we not, but in being consistent, that we don't close our mind to the fact that what I have believed and been led to believe all my life cannot be wrong. I would liken it maybe to a gambler that thinks he's got a sure bet, and he just bets everything on it. And if that turns out that not the right, then he's lost everything. And what we're betting is our soul's salvation. And we don't dare be pig-headed enough to stick head in the mud and say, I already know all I need to know. I can't learn no more. Don't try to tell me anything else. I already know. And guess that might be all right if you could be absolutely sure that you're right. But I don't believe that we can always be sure that we know. I'd like to go to page 722 in the Book of Mormon for a little scripture reading. Not that this scripture is particularly going to support all the things that I have rambled on about. Start with the 86th verse. I believe I'm just a little bit loud, am I? I think maybe it's coming back and ringing once in a while, isn't it? And it came to pass that the Lord said unto the brother Jared, Behold, thou shalt not suffer these things which ye have seen and heard to go forth into the world until the time cometh that I will glorify my name in the flesh. Wherefore ye shall treasure up the things which you have seen and heard, and show it to no man. And behold, when you shall come unto me, ye shall write them, and shall seal them up, and no man can interpret them, for ye shall write them in a language that cannot be read. And behold, when you shall come unto me, ye shall write them, and shall seal them up, and no man can interpret them, for ye shall write them in a language that cannot be read. And behold, these two stones will I give unto thee, and you shall seal them up also with the things which ye shall write. For behold, the language which ye shall write I have confounded. Therefore I will cause in mine own due time that these stones shall magnify to the eyes of men these things which ye shall write. And when the Lord had said these words, the Lord showed unto the brother of Jared all the inhabitants of the earth, which had been, and also all that would be, and the Lord withheld them not from his sight, even unto the ends of the earth. For the Lord had said unto him, in times before, that if he would believe in him, and he would show them, that he would show unto him all things, it should be shown unto him. Therefore the Lord cannot withhold anything from him, for he knew that the Lord could show him all things. And the Lord said unto him, Write these things, and seal them up, and I will show them in my own due time unto the children of men. Now this is back pretty early in time. This is back in Jared's time. This was back at just right after the destruction of the Tower of Babel, where the people were there. The tower wasn't destructed, but their communications with each other was constructed. Their tongues were confounded. And so now we have the English and the French and the Spanish and the Portuguese and whatever all languages. And that's only very few of who knows how many languages there are. But this was the instructions that he gave to him, that they should not be go out to the world until after his coming. I don't think it said that here, but it will further on down. And it came to pass that the Lord commanded him that he should seal up the two stones which he had received, and show them not until the Lord should show them unto the children of all men. And the Lord commanded the brother of Jared to go down out of the mount from the presence of the Lord and write the things which he had seen, and they were forbidden to come unto the children of men until after that he should be lifted up upon the cross. So all the times that the Jaredites lived here, they didn't have this information that had been written. And then when the Nephites came, they didn't have it. Well, they had it, but it was written in a manner that they couldn't understand, and it was being protected. And it was protected partially, the two stones that they had to be able to look through to see it and translate it. And for this cause did King Mosiah keep them, that they should not come unto the world until after Christ should show himself unto his people. And after that Christ truly had showed himself unto his people, he commanded that they should be made manifest. Don't remember anything in the Bible about this, do you? So it must have just been manifested in this country. I don't know. And now, after that they have all dwindled in unbelief, there is none save it be the Lamanites, and they have rejected the gospel of Christ. Therefore I am commanded that I should hide them up again in the earth. Who's this I here? Speaking. This is Moroni, isn't it? Moroni is the one that wrote the book of Ether. He didn't write it from memory. He wrote it from records that he found. But some of the words are his also, his own words added in. I am commanded that I should hide them up again in the earth. Behold, I have written upon these plates the very things which the brother of Jared saw, and there never was greater things made manifest than that which was made manifest unto the brother of Jared. Wherefore the Lord hath commanded me to write them, and I have written them, and he commanded that I should seal them up. This is the second time it's sealed up, wasn't it? The first time was by Jared and the brother Jared. This is here 400 years or so after Christ that Moroni is commanded to seal them up. And he also hath commanded that I should seal up the interpretation thereof. Wherefore I have sealed up the interpreters according to the commandment of the Lord. For the Lord saith unto me, they shall not go forth unto the Gentiles until the day that they shall repent of their iniquity and become clean before the Lord. And in that day that they shall exercise faith in me, saith the Lord, even as the brother of Jared did, that they may become sanctified in me, then will I manifest unto them the things which the brother of Jared saw, even to the unfolding unto them of all my revelations, saith Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of the heavens and of the earth, and all things that in them are. And he that contendeth against the word of the Lord, let him be accursed. And he that shall deny these things, let him be accursed. For unto them will I show no greater things, saith Jesus Christ, for I am he which speaketh. We have this much. We have this book. We have this much. and we have to accept it. We can't say, oh, well, I don't believe this is true. I don't believe it's of God at all. Or maybe part of it's of God and part of it is, well, I just don't believe part of it. Yeah, because if you have that, well, attitude's a word I want to use or not. Can't think of the right word if it isn't attitude. We're never going to learn because he's not going to show us anymore. For unto them I will show no greater things, said Jesus Christ, for I am he which speaketh. And my commandment, and at my command the heavens are opened and are shut, and at my word the earth shall shake, and at my command the inhabitants thereof shall pass away, even so as by fire. And he that believeth not my words, believeth not my disciples. And if it so be that I do not speak, judge ye, for you shall know that it is I that speaketh at the last day. But he that believeth these things which I have spoken, him will I visit with the manifestations of my spirit, and he shall know and bear record. So if we choose not to believe, or we choose to believe something different than what the scriptures tells us, we are in a terribly precarious condition. And if we don't want to believe until we learn more, then he's not going to show us anymore. So we're in a very precarious position if we do not want to believe. But again, believe what? You know, we have lots. There's lots of beliefs in the world that's not in agreement with the scriptures. And if we choose to believe other than the scriptures, then we're lost. I'd like to turn to page 765 for a minute. Starting with the 24th verse of the 7th chapter of Moroni. Wherefore, by the ministering of angels, and by every word which proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God, men began to exercise faith in Christ. And thus by faith they did lay hold upon every good thing, and thus it was until the coming of Christ. And after that he came, men also were saved by faith in his name. And by faith they became the sons of God. Oh, yeah, I missed the word God there. Sons of God. And as surely as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our Father, saying, whatsoever thing you shall ask of Father in my name, not everything we'd ask him, that those things that would be good, whatsoever thing you should ask of Father in my name, which is good, in faith believing that you will receive, behold, it shall be done unto you. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased, because Christ has ascended into heaven, and has sat down on the right hand of God, to claim of the Father his rights of mercy, which he hath unto the children of men. For he hath answered the ends of the law, and he claimeth all those that have faith in him, and they that have faith in him will cleave unto every good thing. Wherefore he advocateth the cause of the children of men, and he dwelleth eternally in heaven. So Christ is our advocate to God for mercy for us, if we will have faith in Christ. And because that he hath done this, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased? Behold, I say unto you, nay, neither hath angels ceased to minister unto the children of men. For behold, they are subject unto him to minister according to the word of his command, showing themselves unto them of strong faith and a firm mind and in every form of godliness. A firm mind. Not a hardened mind that can't give at all, but something that's stable, something that's firm. With a strong faith. We have a terribly strong faith in something that is just absolutely wrong, and that doesn't do any good for us. So we must make sure that our beliefs are correct. And if they aren't correct, we should seek to find what the truth is. And because we spent all of our lives, mostly, in the Church of Christ, don't mean that we can't have some things wrong in our beliefs. Again, not to be wishy-washy, because that would be a firm mind if we was run one way a while and another way a while. But being a strong. And the office of their ministry, what's this? Whose ministry? Maybe that's the angels here. And the office of their ministry is to call men unto repentance, and to fulfill and do the work of the covenants of the Father, which he hath made unto the children of men, to prepare the way among the children of men, by declaring the word of Christ unto the chosen vessels of the Lord, that they may bear testimony of him. And by so doing, the Lord God prepareth the way that the residue of men may have faith in Christ. Since they will, but they may. That the Holy Ghost may have place in their hearts according to the power thereof. And after this manner bringeth to pass the Father the covenants which he hath made unto the children of men. And Christ hath said, if ye will have faith in me, not just faith, but faith in me, ye shall have power to do whatsoever thing is expedient in me. And he hath said, repent, all the ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, and have faith in me, that ye may be saved. Here comes the baptism. It says it's necessary. and also have faith. Like I said early, the ultimate end for us is, at least it should be for us, is our soul salvation. Nothing else. Nothing else. Not a wife or a husband or a child or a parent or neighbor to come between you and God. Now it's really great when you and your spouse can come to God together. But if it can't be, then it's still your important, most important, that you do that. Let's skip over to 776. I guess starting with the 14th verse. I really plan on 15th, but I think we'll go back to the 14th. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren. Who is he speaking to here? He's speaking to us. He's at Moroni. This is Moroni, and he didn't leave it to anybody here on this continent before. He's speaking to us. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that ye remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men. Wherefore there must be faith, and if there must be faith, there must be hope. Hope? What do you mean by hope? What is a hope? Hope to spend eternity with Christ, with God? Or hope that we're going to make $1 million? Must have hope. And if there be hope, there must also be charity. And except you have charity, what is charity? The pure love of Christ. The pure love of Christ. You can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. Neither can you be saved in the kingdom of God if you have not faith. Neither can ye if you have no hope. And if you have no hope, you must needs be in despair, and despair cometh because of iniquity. And Christ truly said unto our fathers, if you have faith, you can do all things which are expedient unto me. And Christ truly said unto our fathers, who is our fathers? People in Jerusalem? I know we talk to them all right, but the fathers here are the people in this country, the Nephite people and the Lamanite people. That was righteous people, that were obedient people, that had faith in Christ's coming. And as he is here, had faith in his ability to care for them, had faith in his ability to create a place after this life. little glimpses of what heaven might be like. Don't all really agree, at least as far as I can read them, but maybe I don't understand. But it is a place that is desirable above all else, and that would give us happiness above all else. And that happiness is not all confined in the so-called hereafter, but happiness in knowing that we are doing the Lord's will here in this life. That doesn't mean that we won't have some trials. God won't try us, but Satan will. He continually tries, see if he can't bait you into doing something that you shouldn't do, saying things that you shouldn't say, doing things that you shouldn't do. But having that faith and understanding, we can be truly thankful. We use the word thankful today, particularly because it's near Thanksgiving time. Truly thankful that what God has set out, the plan of salvation that He has set out, is so desirable. And He has made the path not really hard, just that we have to have the desire to do. But that will make us rich or keep us from being cold on a cold day or anything like that. But we have a warm feeling in our heart because of knowing that we are pleasing God.
Let us close our service this afternoon with hymn number 417. Find your places, would you rise?